Hello, welcome. This is the Monday night call on July the 20th, 2015, which is hosted by Winfrey. Starting in a few minutes, this is as usual a simulcast with a conference call. Every time you hear a ding, there's somebody else joining in, and we had a few more people join in while I did this announcement. Welcome you guys. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie in Corona.
Good evening, Bonnie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Joshua, Austin, Texas.
Who's this in Texas?
Joshua, Austin,
Hi,
Texas.
Joshua. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Thanks. I'm pretty good.
All right.
Hi. Northern Ohio. How you say
that? Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Don.
Hello to all that came in.
Hi, Donna.
If you had more people join in and you want to announce yourself, we welcome you. Please do. Welcome to the call, please. Location.
Yeah, it's Roger in Austin.
Good evening to you, Roger. Welcome to the call.
You, sir.
Hey, Roger.
Hey, Roger.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Today also is the anniversary of the first moonwalk.
All right.
First recorded one.
If it really
modern
happened.
History. First of modern history.
If it really happened.
About Michael Jackson moonwalk?
All right. This is Wynn.
Good evening, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Am I loud enough tonight?
You're no. Loud enough. I don't know how clear you are. Let's wait until we have the lines muted.
Maybe I'll call back on. Skype seems to be better in general, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you sound muffled.
I'll call back on Skype.
All right. Now, we had more people join into the call over here. I welcome you guys. If you want to, please say your name and location. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris currently in Sedona.
Good evening, Chris. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Hey, hi. Hi, Chris.
It's Chris
Hello.
In Sedona.
I'm in Sedona. Yes, I am.
How is life in Sedona, Chris?
I love it, man. I love the energy here. It's great.
Fantastic. Well, good to have you here. I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah, thanks, Ice.
All right.
Fly, Chris.
Spread the anchor to us all.
he tried, but he fell.
Yeah.
We've had such good rain here in California.
Good.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Jim in Sedona.
Good evening, Jim. How
good
are you doing?
Good evening, my dear friend. And I hope everyone is well tonight.
Hello, Jim. I just saw you. It's Chris.
Hi, Chris, hello. Chris, how are you? That's good
hello.
To hear your voice. Good
you,
to hear your voice.
Hey, Jim's the big anchor.
Now,
yeah, hi. It was a funny story. Terry and Jim came up to the Safeway while I was up here, and I met Terry. I mean, it was cool.
Yes.
Small world, isn't it?
I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening, Shirley. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right, one more call. Welcome. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
Only if you want to.
Yeah, I'm going to turn the things
off. Well, hello to all those who
okay.
came in.
All right. The things are on.
I think my volume is louder. Is my volume louder now?
Yes. And clearer.
Let's
first mute the lines over here.
All right. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Wynn, the mic to you.
Thank you. This is Wynn and Terry in Poland.
We are not recording yet. Are you ready for that?
No, but we'll
this
do
this conference is being recorded.
This is Wynn and Terry in Poland. And we're in Poland in honor of Chris, who came to Sedona to see us.
All callers are unmuted.
Chris? Chris? Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you know, when I was younger, you know, I loved Bob Dylan, right?
Yeah.
And so I used to drive across the country to go to college, to Berkeley from Philadelphia. And I went, you know where Bob Dylan is from?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. I'm going to mute everybody and then, hi, listen.
Yes. Morgan in California.
Okay? Hi, Morgan.
Just a second. Hi, Morgan.
Hi. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Chris's line is open.
Well, Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
So what happened was I drove across the country and Bob Dylan was from Hibbing, Minnesota, right? And I had a bunch of guys who were in the car driving across the country and going from Philadelphia.
Before he got electric or when he was still folk?
Okay. I don't remember.
Probably.
So I read in an interview that his parents had a appliance store in Hibbing, Minnesota, which is a little mining town. So we all went to the appliance store, and I went up to the counter and I said, "Are you Bob Dylan's mother?" Okay. The guy there looked at me cross-eyed.
Yeah.
Picked up the telephone, and he told the woman, you know, whoever was on the other line, "We got another one here. What should we do with them?" She said, "Well, send them over." So we went over to his house that he was brought up in, and then they served us coffee, and we hung out for a while, okay? And then we went on to Berkeley. And then probably 4 or 5 years, 6 years later, I was traveling around the country playing music with my friend Jillian, and we were on the East Coast, and we knew Bob Dylan lived in Woodstock, New York, right? And so we happened to be in Woodstock, and we asked people, "Well, where does Bob live?" And they said, "Up that hill over there somewhere." So we drove up the hill, and we were on the top of the hill, and we parked somewhere, and we're just looking at each other, and I said, "Well, what are we going to do? All we got is all these houses. What are we going to do? We're never going to find Bob Dylan, and he probably would hate us if we found him anyway, right?" And so there we were sitting in my little blue Volkswagen bus, and this guy is walking down this dirt path with his horse. And Jillian nudges me and says, "Look." And I look, and guess who it was? It was
Bob.
No
way. Oh.
And I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, are you Bob?" And he said, "Yeah, what do you want?" Right? Well, now I had to think really fast, and I said, "Well, we came here to sing you a song." And he looks at me and he says, "Go ahead." So I got out of my car, I took my guitar out, and I sung him a song. I sung a song. I think it was called "At the Carnival." Good song for you. I should teach it to you. But in any case, I finished the song. He looked at me again very nicely. He said, "That was really nice. Thanks." And he walked off. So that was my experience of stalking Bob Dylan, right?
Hey, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to L.A. I'm going to swim in Ozzy Osbourne's pool.
I see. Well, now I got Chris stalking me. He arrives in Sedona, and he emails me, and he says, "What should I do? I'm here in Sedona." So he was here yesterday and today, and then he's just walking around Sedona and he's hanging out in Safeway, and he reminds me a little bit of me when I was younger.
That's still my thing. Doing the Chris Blair thing.
And then when he was in Safeway, and Terry and Jim walked through Safeway, and there he was. And it's like, now he's stalking Terry.
I'm sorry, Terry. Don't be scared. I love you, Terry.
All right.
Hey, so, you move the microphone a little bit away from you.
I should move the microphone a little away?
Yes, away. Yes, overmodulated.
All right.
That's right, Mr. Freak.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're going to mute Chris, okay? And, Terry?
Yeah. I'm here.
You're not ready, are you? You're not ready, are you?
No, never ready.
Okay. Because I made an announcement that we were going to do what I said we were going to do, okay?
Yeah, I saw.
So, get in a centered space.
Yeah.
Now, I sent this out to our entire list, so if anyone happens to be new, you know, there's a predisposition, you know, if, let's suppose we're really talking to the group soul that created the universe. Now, how do you prove that? You really can't prove that, unless you can go back in time and see them doing it. We can't even prove that we're talking to the Elohim. We have a voice that comes through Terry. But we do have all this amazing phenomena. And I always tell people, don't give up your power and think, I better get my pen down and write down what they say. Just get neutral. See how it feels to you. I mean, I am my own worst skeptic here. And it took me 3 years to say, geez, I think they are who they say they are. And if you believe it, because I say it, it's kind of like a giving up of your power. So don't believe it because I say it. Just be curious and see how this sounds. You know, I can say this about them. They, on our Wednesday call, they answer questions extremely wisely. They seem to know things about people that no one would know. They seem to be able to tune into people's energy fields and give them very, very wise looks. There's lots of times when people have had little miracles or big miracles as a result of being on the calls. And, of course, they say that they can project their energy from where they are into our realm. And on our Sunday call in particular, many, many people on the call can feel energy. And it's like a person. They say they're looking at each one individually while you're on the call, but they do not violate your free will. So they let you check them out until you trust them and say, okay, I'm open to feeling you. And, Terry, you're breathing into the mic. You know, there's this other phenomena, which occasionally I put out, that sometimes somebody takes my picture, or they take a picture of something, and there's this huge pink glow that's inexplicable. And the Elohim says that's them. And that when they interface with us, the interface frequency is the color pink. So, you know, those are all my indications, and then I ask them questions, like I'm going to do tonight, that I can't even imagine how they're going to answer. And they answer these questions with a lot of authority, a lot of patience in explaining this. So this is a whole series that we've been doing over about 4 years about how the universe works. And within that series, which at some point I'm going to put together on one page, because I think it's totally fascinating. And they talk about everything from, you know, how they were just spirit forms and that there was no persistence, there wasn't a physical universe, and how they used frequency to create nodes to create the beginning of time, space-time. Now, you got to remember that everything, including time, is part of creation. There really is no time. So how do you create time? It's really too big a concept for a human to encompass. Even though they've explained it, you can only barely touch on it. But just imagine that you're a spirit form and there's no space and time, and that you start to create the parameters for space and time and for individuated entities in this universe. And you give everything free will to create itself. And then the entities start creating with each other. And it keeps going and going and going. And billions of years later, here we are. And there's a lot of aspects that went negative and went wrong that they didn't necessarily sanction. But you're breathing into the microphone, Terry. Okay. And for them, in its initial phases, it was the way they've described it. It was like watching an aquarium, and they do not say they're God in the normal way. They do not say they want to be worshipped. Okay, they do not tell us what to do, but they are able to mingle with our energy. You know, when you have a good friend or you have a wife or if you're making love, you can understand what it means to mingle with someone's energy. You can feel their energy. You're not just in your head. It's not just intellectual. You feel each other. If you're in a house and you're living with people, if your energies are mingling, you can feel the other people in your house, okay? Well, the Elohim don't have bodies, but they have the ability to mingle with our energies, to project themselves here, and it's a very close thing when they do that. And they don't do it unless you invite them. So part of the reason for these calls is to tell you about how it works so you can make your own decision if you feel comfortable with it. You know, it's possible. I don't believe this is true. I have no indication this is true. I only see positive things from our work. But, you know, let's suppose you're a traditional Christian. And you would have to say that this has to be negative. The devil is imitating something, and they have an agenda. And if you want to think that, then this is not for you what we're doing here. On the other hand, I have no evidence that that's true. And if Jesus had any relevancy, he said, "By your fruits you shall be known." And the work we're doing has only had good fruits. A lot of growth, a lot of community, and no control patterns. There's nothing to join, nothing to pay, nothing to do, nothing to worship. It just supports your growth. And the theory is that there's one energy in the universe. You are part of that energy. And the Elohim is part of that same energy. They operate at a bigger level than we do on Earth. And so when they come into the space, they can help expand all of our connection to the greater universe energetically. And they can mingle with your energy, as can the Ra group, okay? When we're talking about how they created the universe, the Ra group didn't create the universe. The Elohim group did. Elohim is one of the words for God in the Old Testament and in the Book of Mormon. And but when I asked them squarely, they are not God in the way religion makes that seem. But they do answer requests. They honor free will, so somebody has to ask them for an intervention of some sort. And through that process of asking, you could think they're God. I'm just going to ask them, and asking becomes prayer. But it's not exactly, and it works if you have a pure heart and you aim requests to God, they could be one of the sources that answers your requests. So we're going to have a freewheeling interview on them, on this ongoing topic. And Terry, you're not ready, right? I'm not ready, so let's call in the light, okay? You want to unmute yourself so you don't forget?
Yeah. Okay.
Great. And we are very, very honored to have Terry Brown dedicated to this work. She is really my great long-term friend and associate and partner. And, you know, she has the ability not only to channel the Elohim, but to exhibit some of the most pure, unconditional love of anyone you ever meet. And so I know the people that have gotten to know her, are very blessed. And we're blessed.
And Terry, you should hear it more because, you know, everybody, they love you, and you're such a special person, and it's so appreciated. I think you should hear it more. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now there's Hives butting in again, Terry. What am I going to do with him? in any case, I urge you to, if you haven't read the Creator God book, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, want to talk to you, I urge you to read it, okay? Because it talks about a lot of the messages that have come through Terry. And just before we start, I put another plug today for Terry Friedman's book. And if you haven't read it, I hope you do, because you... An idea of Jesus is connected with all of this. And and you can go to that webpage and get free excerpts from the book and see Terry on video. And it's all, you know, we need a lot of input to get out of the reality systems in this realm. In case you haven't noticed, this realm is full of programming. It's been going on for hundreds and perhaps thousands of years that we take things for granted about how things work that are really not true. And everything from the news, the media, you know, I sent out a YouTube a few weeks ago on Sandy Hook, and it's a pretty compelling case that didn't happen. And if you didn't know that yet, your mind is saying, when is going crazy? What do you mean it didn't happen? I read it on all the newspapers. I saw it on all the TV. And you ought to make sure you go back in your files. It was under the informational things. And look at that video. Because, you know, I mean, it's 2 hours long. And it gives a blow-by-blow case of that event that is incredibly compelling, okay? And if that didn't happen, what else didn't happen? And what else have you read that didn't happen? And that how much do you believe that isn't real? And I mean, it's okay because everyone, including me, has been brought up with all these misconceptions. And if you keep holding the misconceptions, then it does block your growth. You can't just put your head in the sand and pray to God and miss all the things you should be praying for in this realm that are screwed up. Okay, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light, surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line, and any negativity be lifted and taken to the highest realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies. Well, I'm going to put this on work.
All callers are muted.
Through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive in service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protect space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Just a minute. I'm taking the dinner off the stove because it's making a noise. So, just a minute. Okay. Whenever I hear a noise when I'm channeling, it knocks me right out of the channeling. Okay. Give me a minute. Yes, we are here. This is Ra On, and we are delighted to make contact and are with you and with each and every one of you who wishes to be connected with. Do you have questions?
Thank you for being here. And we were going to do another session of how the Elohim created the universe. And let me have Terry move her microphone a little bit away from her mouth because her breathing is still coming through. Okay? And I was going to bring this topic in of DNA. Now, we have touched on it previously, but I wanted to try to grasp the nature of DNA and every one of us has our body. People describe DNA as being the blueprint of our body. And I also understand that DNA, the blueprint for DNA, travels in our soul stream from one lifetime to the next. And I thought maybe I just start out with an open-ended question and not go back and ask more questions about what is the nature of DNA and how does it work?
Thank you. It is a series of strands that are bound together, and it is a part of the makeup of the body moving into the manifest realm. There are specific DNA signatures that are available or that make up different species, different viruses, different bacteria. They have different DNA signatures. And it is possible to see what is present using testing to understand what the makeup is of the DNA that goes into the structure of the body, whether it is a human body or whether it is an animal body or whether it is bacterium or a pathogen. That is a little bit about it.
I have the idea that DNA is sensitive to vibrations and frequencies, that it can pick up, it's a microcosm of the universe, and it picks up energies in the macrocosm and brings it into the being, the beings that have DNA as their blueprint. Is that a correct assessment?
Yes. Based upon the energy formation, it resonates, it vibrates, and it vibrates at certain frequencies and brings in the frequency that then can be broadcast and manifested throughout the manifest body.
So if we were looking at astrology, for example, and that we have Venus in a certain sign, in a certain place in the solar system, is our DNA the aspect of ourselves that links us to the motion of the planets?
There are meridians that extend through the solar system and extend through the human body, and they reflect the energy in the meridians of the solar system and of even distant stars. And these have a certain energy in their makeup that then allows the DNA strand to pick up that energy, much like a violin string can resonate to another violin string if it is really finely tuned. And when you get this resonance in your own DNA strands, then it begins to slant the energy, which can be even converted or downloaded into attitudes or into energies that blend exuberance or blend difficulties or blend various vibrations that then can affect the thought system. So an individual can be very affected by the energies of Venus or of the planets or of the stars and can feel like this is meant to be or this is something they cannot overcome. However, one can get so that they are able to express their own self-center, their own balance, their chakras being balanced, then these meridians do not throw one off and lead one into the things that can come into their sphere when these certain astrological formations are in play, there is another aspect, and that is when the moon is close, it has an effect upon the tides. It also has an effect upon the body. And with this effect on the body, can release or can unsettle things that a person has tried so hard to keep in place. And by force, they even to keep certain emotions in place. And then when it is unsettled by the influence of the gravity from the moon, then they begin to lose the ability to keep it under control. This is an opportunity for growth that the individual can experience, because one can see when these things become unsettled and emotions begin to run rampant, what it is that they are holding in place, and can begin to observe that and learn more about themselves. And eventually, when one is clear of these patterns, these influences from the past or from even the present, when they're clear, then the moon and the stars, they can overcome their astrological patterns.
Yeah, we talked about the meridians or the lines of energy. And we know there's meridians in our body. There's meridians around the Earth. There's meridians in our solar system. And there's meridians in the universe through all the dimensions. Is our DNA sensitive to the whole deal? Does the sensitivity go back to the center of creation, or is that a variable thing from person to person, depending on how open they have allowed their DNA to structure itself?
Each person has finely tuned DNA that can modify based upon experiences, life experiences, can modify based upon genetic growth from genetic past history, from the ancestors, and their own DNA can begin, although maybe temporarily, to modify so that it begins to express aspects of the history of the other influences from other meridians from the star system, and can have an aspect of vibration from those things. Therefore, the more one can be centered and can get a chakra balance, the more one can observe and not be overly influenced by the stars and by the meridians within the solar system that intersects the body, and from the grid system, which intersects with the body. One notices before an earthquake is there is a aspect of unsettling if one is sensitive to it. The individuals can get headaches. They can get in fights for no apparent reason, as the patterns within the body that have been carefully and rigidly held in place are jarred loose.
When two humans get into proximity to each other's fields, are they impacting each other's DNA?
Yes, in fact, the more similar or the more dissimilar individuals are, they can lock on to the alternate pattern of another or the opposite pattern of another and lock into their pattern. And so locked that they can begin moving together and see or sense that there is something to be worked out here, and they don't completely understand it, but their patterns fit together like the patterns of a puzzle, like energy fitting together. So one can experience, and it goes through to vibrate their own DNA, experience the patterns of another. And they can use this means to work out difficulties and gain growth.
Is that why people look like their dogs, or the dogs look like their people, or people start looking similar who live together?
Vibration of an individual then, as they share space with their pet, and the pet shares space with them, can begin to have an effect upon the makeup of their body and the makeup of the DNA.
Now, our soul is an energy, and there's an interface between your DNA and your soul, I believe. And could you theoretically create a body from a piece of DNA from that body? I understand you could clone a body if you had the DNA from that body. Is that true? Do you have sufficient technology?
You can clone a body. There are certain things that are needed. There would need to be the building blocks of the body. There would need to be equipment to focus it, unless one would have the ability to focus through their mind. It is possible, as there has been cloning of bodies in the current time and of the past, it can lead to some pretty unfortunate results. In fact, in most cases, the results are not optimum, although every now and then results do come out well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, a lot of people in New Age metaphysics talk about DNA evolution, and that to graduate this realm, your DNA has to be, your strands have to be in a certain state of openness, and that there's a connection between DNA and, should we say, the key to other dimensions, the key to higher dimensions, the key to 4D, the key to 5D. Can you explain this? Is this accurate? In other words, is DNA the element which creates the soul to be able to move to a higher dimension?
The more strands that the individual has open, then the more varied and broader look that the individual can have, and they can move through the manifest world with more gifts and more ability to stay grounded, but yet to look out and to move into higher and other dimensions.
When somebody comes on these calls and they feel energy on the call, is that energy assisting them to unfold their DNA?
Give us a moment. Most people are locked into their pattern and have a resistance to move into a higher pattern. However, the experience is good of experiencing this energy, and the more that they experience it, the more open they can become to let go of their confined energy system.
Now, is there, oftentimes I've said that there is a correlation. There's 12 strands of DNA, and there's a correlation between the first 7 strands and the first 7 chakras and the next 5 strands and opening up the energies outside of the body. Is that accurate?
Give us a moment. The more strands that are open, the more one can reach outside their body. And the chakras are connected with a certain vibration. Each chakra has a slightly different vibration, which is shown in the color of the chakra, that it is a different vibration. And these vibrations affect the DNA there are ways of opening up the chakras that they can work more interactively with the DNA.
When the Elohim was in the beginning stages of creation, how did the idea of DNA get developed? Was like their master scientist Elohim or group that was working on the mechanism of creating life?
The students that are experienced in the manifest world begin to set up DNA strands, which then begin to bring in a focus of awareness. It is a function of spinningness, and it is a part of the universal energy in its movement that causes DNA to be formed.
But was the original design, or was it a spontaneous evolution?
It was a spontaneous evolution, and then individuals who were much more advanced than their density beings were able to, with their minds, to spin the energies and to create long strands of DNA, and then were on a level that is multi-dimensional, not a linear track, and they were able to put together strands that, and then notice that they began to move on their own. And it is an earlier group of Elohim that were working and observing the creation that they were able to make through thus using their mindset to put together mathematical equations of spinningnesses and vectors to create structure.
When these early Elohim were in the beginning stages of this creation, like lots of creation is experimental. They could vision that something was going to occur, but then they would have to do it, and it happened. And then
it is not like one thing was visioned and then they did it. They did it at the same time they were thinking of it. There was not any time to delay. The instantaneous result happened immediately.
Mm-hmm. Now, as the Elohim we're talking to, and we're talking about all of these meridian lines crisscrossing in time the energies of the universe together, do the celestial Elohim travel on those meridian lines, or do they...
We do not need meridian lines to travel. It is a lower level to travel on a meridian line.
You can move instantaneously into a space transcending anything in between sacred geometries, stacked dimensions, different timelines.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, when we feel your energy, you're just there. We are part of you. We are part of you. Yes? It's like you're accessing part of yourself.
We do not have words for the expression of this, as it is a the the background of everything is like one being. And so everything is from the one being, and then it is written on the one being.
Thank you. Just one final question, because we're coming to a close. How can a person who is an evolving being in this realm use this knowledge of DNA to apply to their own evolutionary process?
Give us a moment. When one looks at their own patterns, one can realize that one can go beyond their own patterns, and they can become balanced to eliminate their patterns so that they are just there. And then they can become senior to the meridians and the energies of the moon and the energies of Mercury retrograde, and they can become senior to all of that. And as they do, their DNA straightens out and becomes more pure rather than to be affected by all of these other energy manifestations.
Is that similar to what Jesus said when he said, I am in this realm but not of it?
Yes, it is.
Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming here and answering our questions tonight. And we'll do this again soon. And we'll see you again on Wednesday when you answer the questions that people submit. We ask you to bless our planet. Keep sending energy with all of us to our planet, and for peace, for positive transformation, for earthquake reduction, for the highest good, for all the transmutations of all the things that are negative here, and for all of us who are struggling to master our survival in this realm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All callers are unmuted.